Recording in progress.
Fine. I thought maybe you were connecting to another one. No, it's fine.
No, I'm on my tablet as well as the laptop, but yeah.
Okay. No, thank you.
That's okay.
Okay.
Get to Glenda. Get to call again, Glenda. Not to call it.
Of everyone, I'm a singer. Of everyone,
I'm a singer. Adopt.
Okay, on a mela after adopt.
I go up a little noise. I don't know. Tora rofolo go re go tsetsa.
Okay.
Eh, tati.
Ora.
Ke re tshugo tshele.
Okay, sure.
Chair, we have 6 members now.
Good morning, honorable members. Let's start with our meeting. We are running behind time. This is a joint meeting of the Standing and Select Committees on Finance to consider and adopt a report on the 22 revised fiscal framework and revenue proposals, commonly known as MTBBS. You are all welcome, honorable members. Let's also welcome the support teams from Parliament, welcome the media, welcome the stakeholders and public, and all those who are in attendance. The meeting is officially open. Are there apologies?
From the side of the Select Committee on Finance, Chairperson, no apologies. All members are present.
No apologies from Standing Finance Chair.
Okay, thanks. Let's proceed to the item 3, consideration and adoption of the committee report on 2022 revised fiscal framework and revenue proposals, MTBPS. Can you flight the report on the screen? And we go straight right away to observations and recommendations, because we take it that members have read the report, though it arrived late last night. We'll try to make sure that in the future, we improve that the report should be received by members in time, so that they are able to have enough time to consult with their parties and probably their research teams to assist them technically. Let's where are we? Yeah, 7.1 is a very long observation and a recommendation. There we are, 7.1. Comrade Yunis, are you there, Chairperson?
I'm here, yes, Comrade.
Oh, okay, you are welcome. And Chairperson Masangu, you are also welcome. There we are. Is there any comment on or clarity seeking question on 7.1? Let me go to here. Agreed. Okay. 7.2.
On 7-2, Chair, sorry. On 7-2, maybe just the addition that the 8 million unemployed is just the 8 million unemployed and active. The total amount of unemployed in our country is 12 million. And I think it is only proper that also as a committee, we are able to show that, to be able to say that, yes, with the 8 million unemployed, the really what is the expanded definition? The expanded definition is 12 million. But also share when we come to 7.1, we did indicate that the National Treasury considers the fiscal framework arguments and not some of the arguments, because we do not want to seem as though we are picking some and leaving others. That is for 7.1, Chair. We would like to say that the fiscal framework must consider the arguments raised by stakeholders. And in the line after that, the sentence after that reads this: the committee understands the arguments by the stakeholders on austerity to be informed by fiscal consolidation part of government since February 2013. I don't think we need to say of the last few years. And down the line on 7.1 still, Chair, we also have the issue of providing growth to the economy, because that is very critical for all of us here, that we ensure that the economy grows so that we do not necessarily do that to stabilize the fiscal framework, but that's a general argument that one wants to put forward, that we ensure growth, economic growth. But mine for 7.2, without delaying you, Chair, was on just including 12 million as the expanded definition. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry for taking you back.
No problem. There we are. 7.3.
On 7.3, Chair, that is an understanding between the issue of the necessary trade-offs that will be made is an understanding between the Treasury and the stakeholders or the structures that they're trading off with. I don't think ourselves as the portfolio committee should include that. I thought that that was not a necessary sentence to insert for us as the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Noxin.
Chair, can I just raise a practical issue there? It's Eunice.
Yes, Chairperson.
You see, it's linked to the earlier point we made about not being populist. What happens is Treasury keeps throwing it back to us that, and to the stakeholders, that look, okay, you guys want a BIG, okay, guys in the plural sense, and or more than plural sense these days. We have to make the necessary trade-offs. So we are saying, yeah, we understand all of that. And so it's fine. If the majority want to drop it, it's fine. The only reason is, you see, the way it comes across from Treasury in tone and sometimes in substance, including from the minister, particularly in the public domain, is somehow those of us who want a BIG, we are like, you know, not taking into account that we need trade-offs. I mean, all of us know a budget is trade-offs, please. We know that. All of us know the fiscal space. So it's linked to the earlier point. Fine, let's do the necessary trade-offs, right? What those trade-offs are is not something that we can decide here. Moreover, it falls under appropriations. I mean, they're more skilled at these things than we are. So I would suggest we leave it here, but in due respect to Comrade Noxie. But otherwise, it's not a transversal. If people want to drop it, it's fine. Thank you.
Thanks, Comrade Yunis. So let's find a way of crafting it in such a manner that it is accommodative and
can't argue with an old man.
I don't know what she said, but she's being terribly ageist, but I don't mind. Because she's not far from my age, Comrade. She's actually like she's 21. And
I'm surprised that she's starting a battle with you. Yourself,
she tells me that every time Chairperson, she meets me in the corridor in the peak over days, and even the other day she forgot to say it.
We must sort out the issue of Comrade Momo, Eunice, and Nox. This age thing.
Look, Comrade Chair, I'm cool. If you want to leave it, drop it, it's fine by me. Fine. I'm just saying why we put it there. Okay.
Let's find a way of crafting it in a manner that it accommodate the input. We understand the pressure that comes from Treasury, but it's a matter that is raised very sharply even from the governing party's social transformation resolution. So, Zakhele and the team, can we find a way of crafting it in such a manner that it accommodates the two views? Five. No, this is four. Yeah. Okay. 5, 7.5. Agreed. Let's move to 6. Agreed. Let's move to 7. Agreed. Let's move to 8. Agreed. Let's move to 9. It tells agreed that there must be clarity on this matter. Dr. George?
Chairperson, I just wanted to make a comment there that it is well known what the position of the DA is regarding bailout to the state-owned enterprises. So we do not recommend any bailing out of state-owned enterprises. I do, however, know that the majority of the members' view is different on that, but I just wanted to point that out. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Dr. George, that should be recorded. Well, 7.10. Dr. George?
That was a former hand chair. I will lower it.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks. Agreed. Can we, while we're still here, Comrade Eunice, this issue of ESCOM, it cuts across almost three committees. Sometimes it becomes difficult to have an inside knowledge of what's happening. It cuts across from us as finance, BPE, public enterprise portfolio and minerals and energy portfolio. Is it possible that probably next year we have a joint meeting to get a full briefing on what's happening in Eskom? Because we only deal with the financial part and we don't understand why this load shedding, and is there a power shortage, is there a capacity shortage, is there management shortage, and so on and so on. I think it will be proper somewhere early next year after the February budget. We have a joint meeting of the three committees and even invite ESCOM and the department to get a full briefing on this, because the amount of money that they are owing is too high, almost 400 billion. It's a threat to the fiscals. So that's my take, honorable members. Let's move to 11.
Hello,
Noxie.
No, I wanted to say I support that we need to have a meeting of the minds so that we can be able to get to the bottom of what the real problem is at Eskom, because otherwise we get surprised, like the general public gets surprised, and we believe what the general public believes. And you are correct, Chair, the oversight of minerals and energy does not necessarily lie with us. So we need to come together with not just the members of the committee of those committees per se, but ensure that the executives are also present to give us light on these issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Nancy.
Hello, Chair.
Comrade John and Comrade Eunice. Comrade John, over to you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, and good morning to all the members. Chair, I think I also just to concur on the matter of having a meeting next year, so that as both the National Council of Provinces and the NA, the joint, I'm fully supporting that, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Comrade Jandu. Chairperson, Comrade Yunis.
Yeah, Comrade Joe, just a quick thing. I agree with it too. The only thing is, we have to be very clear about what we're seeking to do in a three-hour meeting, especially with so many committees there. As you know, on the NCOP side, these committees most committees comprise three different portfolios. In our case, finance and appropriations, because it's the same committee that does both, the chair just changes. We stuck with these two committees. So bringing the NCOP together is often very difficult, but I'm sure we can try and we can then, go ahead with whatever is available. But we need the content advisors to prepare a briefing paper so that we can reach out to the other committees and say, look, this is the framework within which, or term, I don't know how to put the word, framework within which, you can't say terms of reference for the 3-hour sitting, because there'll be so many of us there. And it shouldn't be hanging in the air. We need some clear outcomes, what it is we're seeking to do. Obviously, we have to include appropriations on your side, the NA side, because this is both a fiscal matter in the finance family and an appropriations matter. Fiscal is a vector of debt and borrowing and debt GDP ratios and all of that. But it's also about giving money away. And, we've had appropriations both in regard to the SOE. So on your side, you'll have to ensure that the appropriations committee is there. On our side, it's the same committee, as you know. So I think you're right. We should do it before then. We should just say in the report, if there's agreement, as seems to be the case, then we should put it in the report that the committees will seek to ensure or will actually do it, whatever, as long as we can get it done, in the first quarter of next year, something like that in the report itself. And his opinion. And the minister. and ADGs preferably. And we plan for it, you know, now, before we rise at the end of, well, what is it, first week of December, we should have some tentative dates and send it out, and then our secretaries must pursue it vigorously with their fellow secretaries. But the first thing is to get the buy-in from the chairs of the respective committees. So we'll do it on our side, and NCOB side, if you can do it on the NA side.
Okay. Thanks, Comrade Yunis. We'll talk to Comrade Gerard Masango, Comrade Sfiso, NAGs, is it that? DPE is Makasa, yeah. And as Comrade Yunis has suggested, content advisors, researchers, can you start doing the work? And then we issue out the communique that February next year, after the minister will have tabled the budget, we should have a joint meeting. And we'll also write to the executives who will come with their administrative component, as well as ESCOM itself. Because remember, Reserve Bank, for instance, has reported that this thing is only stage four. It's costing the economy 774 million rand. That's an estimation a day. So in 31 days, that's lots of billions. And in a year's time, that's too much. So let's prepare for such a meeting. Thanks, honorable members. Let's move to 7:11. Agreed. 12. Agreed. Let's move to 13. Agreed. Let's move to 14. Honorable Ryder. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Honorable Ryder, Dr. George.
Can you start with Dr. George, please, Chair?
Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. Yes, I do have quite a serious problem with this paragraph. I was not present when the meat of this conversation was had in the committee regarding the Reserve Bank, but I think fundamentally important is that the Reserve Bank is independent and its focus is on monetary policy. And government's function, and we spend a lot of time in the committee on fiscal policy. So I don't believe that it is the duty or the function of our committee to be, I don't want to use the word interfering, but it might well, you know, move in that direction with the Reserve Bank and its mandate. The Reserve Bank has a mandate, and I think they're clear on what it is, and they have to act on certain things within that mandate. And then government has fiscal policy, which then responds also to various things. So, I mean, we have had a brief discussion on this in the committee, but, you know, government's fiscal response may very well not be the right one under the circumstances. And then, as we saw in the UK, that if something goes wrong fiscally, terribly wrong fiscally, then the Reserve Bank does do something on its side. So it works in that way. So I do think that the committee is outside of its mandate if it wants to engage with the Reserve Bank on its decisions that it makes, et cetera, and on its mandate. I do not believe that this belongs in the realm of the committee, and it is not a fiscal policy matter. So that's what I wanted to mention on this particular paragraph, Chair. Thank you.
Hello. colleagues. It's Eunice. The chair just rang me. The speaker's called in, so he's I don't know what's going on. He's got to go see her or I don't engage with her. He'll be back shortly. Right, so we heard you. Which other hands are up? Dennis, yes.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, so Dr. George has covered me in part, and I do think that looking at 21 doesn't take into account what happened during the COVID period, when in fact interest rates were on a very sharp decline. And it should be noted that perhaps this may just be a correction, but again, it's not really our space to particularly dabble in and get involved. But more important than that, Chairperson, is the way that this issue was introduced to us as a committee. It was not raised by any of the stakeholders. It was not raised at a time when it could be debated and discussed amongst the committee. It was introduced by the chair in his closing. And there was an opportunity for us to discuss it and to get into the meat of the thing. So realistically, Chair, I think to put this forward as the view of the committee is disingenuous, because really it wasn't what was discussed during the course of our deliberations. It was a new idea that was thrown in right at the end. And I think in terms of process alone, this should be left out of the report. Notwithstanding the fact that I agree wholeheartedly with Dr. George that, you know, this is now getting into monetary policy instead of fiscal policy, and really is an overreach of our committee's responsibilities. Perhaps a discussion can be held in this regard, and perhaps we can get other people to give us some inputs. And I note that there's been substantial writing about this in the newspapers, in the various newspapers, with different opinions going forward. But I really don't believe that we should in any way see ourselves as calling the South African Reserve Bank to account in front of this committee.
Nafsi?
Chair, thank you. Sorry. Chair, yes, I think the members are correct to say that we are in no way capacitated to interfere with the mandate of the Reserve Bank, but the fiscal and monetary policies have to be reinforcing. It does not necessarily mean that we cannot have a discussion with the Reserve Bank. I think Honorable Ryder is correct, because the point of the chairperson was to say that the Reserve Bank has to be engaged so that we are on the same page in terms of saying, do we protect the rand or do we protect the people of this country without really changing what Reserve Bank wants to do, but an engagement because of fiscal and monetary policy. So that is why this recommendation is here, Chair. Thank you.
Are there any other hands up? Can we defer this until the co-chair is back so that, you know, he can explain further? But from what I read here, I can't see what is here that is interfering in the independence of the Reserve Bank, quite frankly. I don't know. I mean, I read this thing yesterday afternoon and I couldn't see. This was drafted the way it is, having received it from the drafting team. Now, I'm looking at it now again. It notes that the FFC said that if fiscal policy is credible and sustainable, that would remove pressure from the monetary policy or on the SARB to hike interest rates. So this is about fiscal policy. Yeah, but all these things, the committee will also engage with SARB in order to understand if there are no other favorable policy alternatives that could be within, it is within the constitutional and legislative mandate of SARB, which do not involve the aggressive hiking of the repo rate. So it's very clear within, it's not asking for a change. But clearly also the majority party has a position from its previous conference, and there's conference next month, as the whole world knows. So this issue will come up again. Now, I honestly can't see, you know, I understand what the DA's view is. It's a view shared by some within the ANC and others disagree and all that. That's not for us to get involved in right now, nor is it for us as the ANC to push a particular position that hasn't been properly debated. But as I know it, I mean, the issue keeps coming up every now and then in SCOF. It came up, I think we had the Reserve Bank about three times or so or more, last five-year term. And this issue did come up, as far as I know. And the Reserve Bank governor is always saying, I want to engage. Yeah, let's talk. So I don't see this as intruding on the Constitution. In fact, it says the opposite, within the constitutional legislature. So I really don't see it, Dion and Dennis. But look, why don't we leave this for now and wait for the chair to come back? Now, the fact that he said it at the end and that we didn't discuss it doesn't mean we can't discuss it here. As I know it, the report is meant to reflect the views of the committee here. So if it wasn't raised by the stakeholders, there's no rule, we can ask Frank, that prevents us from taking up an issue that's relevant to the fiscal policy. So I don't think that issue applies. We've done it before where stakeholder hasn't raised. We cover the points that they make, often, mostly in fact, in their own words. They give us a one-page summary, as you know, and the committee staff know they have to, as far as possible, reproduce that. So all I'm saying is, I don't see it as a major issue, quite frankly. If it were what Dion and Dennis are saying, that's slightly different. It's not as if because the chair raised it at the last minute, we are like out of order here. Nothing stops us as far as I can see it. Frank, are you here? Is there anything in the rules that prevents us from, if we so choose, to do what we plan to do? Yeah, in this draft.
I don't see it, Chairperson.
I don't see it. Yeah. No, what we've asked him before, and as far as I remember, there's nothing really, colleagues, believe me. But as for whether you want to have this or not, the majority decides. I think we should wait till the chair comes back and ask him. We can just summarize.
I've got Dr. Chairperson. He wants to contribute.
Yeah, okay,
Zakhele,
come in, please.
Yes, on the 27th of October, the issue of the tightening of monetary policy was also raised by National Treasury in its presentation to the committees. It was on page 4 of that slide. It said that the pace and scale of monetary policy tightening could negatively affect economic output. That comes from the presentation of the National Treasury when it was discussing the risk to the outlook, to the economic outlook that remained elevated. So it's not an issue that just came from the chair. It also came from the presentation of the National Treasury.
All right. Yeah, and I'm just saying that there's no rule that prevents it. I see there's something on the chat group. Yeah, above is a graph of the repo rate over time. That's fine. It doesn't detract from the value or otherwise of what 714 is. Look, let's wait till the co-chair comes back. I could quickly give a summary. If we're not happy with the summary, you can speak yourself and we'll decide on that. But for now, to me, it doesn't seem like a big issue, but okay. 715, any comments? I mean, let's just say for 716. That is very striking, 717. 718. We've covered this already. 719. Seven twenty. 7:21. So we're done. Okay. Let's just see the chair back. Joe, are you back? Yeah. Look, were you here when the issue came about 7:14? You must have just left then. But did you follow the thing or have you lost out on it? 7:14.
What was the issue? I was taking
all right, very quickly, I'll just summarize for you. Obviously, predictably, Dion and understandably, that's their party. Dion and Dennis said, basically, that this firstly goes against, let's say, our the framework of looking at fiscal policy. We're now interfering in monetary policy, and that's protected in the Constitution. We're like almost treading, to use my word, in like interfering in that, right? And secondly, well, if we want to discuss this thing, there has to be a proper fully blown discussion. As far as one of them recalled it, it was said in passing by the chair, yourself, and it was like a summary at the end. There was no like discussion following it and so on. Then the ANC member came in and said, well, Noxie said, they can speak for themselves, I got it wrong. Well, you know, basically that she can't see anything wrong, essentially. I don't quite remember everything she said, but no one is interfering with essentially that's what she said. Then I pointed out, well, one, that the fact that you raised it at the end doesn't mean that we can't put it in the report. I asked for Frank's guidance because we've done that before, Comrade Joe. In the last term as well, it doesn't matter whether a stakeholder raised an issue or not. They covered in the earlier part of the report. When we do observations and recommendations, those belong to us, which is why the two chairs process it before it gets to the committee members. And basically, nothing stops us from doing it. And I just feel that based on my experience in the last 5 years, and we've done it on a few occasions. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing new here because in some or other form, you engaged with the Reserve Bank on your side. We did 3 or 4 times in the last 5 year term. This issue comes up all the time. The ANC has a policy position on it. We're not thrusting it down on anybody. But the truth is, there's nothing here that interferes. In fact, the wording is very careful. It says, within, Comrade Joe, if you look at 7:15, just above, 2 lines above it, it says, within the constitutional legislative mandate of SAAB. So we're not undermining the constitution. That's a separate debate we should have. Secondly, that, you know what, the Reserve Bank Governor always says, listen, I want to engage with you, whoever it is. If you feel we can do more than we're doing, come and talk to us. And he will answer to Parliament. All we're asking for is engagement with him. That's my view. I can't see anything wrong. We can maybe tweak a line here or there if they could guide us. We can even, they have a right, as you know, all of us know, we can put a new clause and say the DA strongly opposes or dissociates itself from 7:14. But there's nothing here that I can see that treads on the independence of the Reserve Bank. Moreover, independence doesn't mean that Parliament cannot engage. It applies to everybody. The Justice Committee engages with the Office of the Chief Justice, okay, as independent as the judiciary is. So it's not like sacrosanct in that way. This is not like, in my view, finally, I didn't say this, but I'm just repeating. In my view, this is not like a sleight of hand. It's not like we are using a roundabout way of opening up this debate that we ourselves in the ANC, never mind that resolution, it's coming up, I'm sure, next month, have some divisions over. There's nothing new here. MPs have raised this before. It's raised by ANC leaders, etc. I just added that. Now, I think the feeling is that you brought it up at the last minute, but Sakile pointed out that the issue comes up in page 4 of the National Treasury representation to us. It says there that actually a tightening of monetary policy could undermine, you know, economic objectives and so on. That's it, from what I can remember. Yeah, does anyone remember, Phil, I misrepresented them in a nutshell and very fast? Dion, Dennis, Noxie. I think that's a crude summary, but it reflects what they said. So over to you. I thought we'll wait until you come because there may be some reason you had for raising it at the last minute, as Dennis suggests you did. Over to you, Comrade Chair. But the rest is done. We finished with the report. We're just hoping you can help us on 7:14.
Okay. Comrade Dennis, if you remember, this issue was raised by FFC. Go through the report of the FFC. They've got a paragraph where they raised the issue about the increase of the repo rate and the interest rate. I don't see how we are interfering in the operation of the Reserve Bank. The Reserve Bank derives its existence from the Constitution. I think it's section 223 to 225. It outlines its establishment, its primary object, powers and functions. And also the very same Constitution says that the Reserve Bank from time to time should consult even with the member of the cabinet responsible for national financial matters. Does it mean that when the minister engages the Reserve Bank, he's interfering in their independence? No. They can't operate in isolation from society and from government because they are a state organ. They are not an organ somewhere which does not derive the existence from the Constitution. And the FFC was right in its observation. What we are saying is that we want them to brief us about how this issue of the monetary policy, the manner they do things, and the way FFC and others are raising the issues, impact on the economy and the poor people. They can't take decisions which we keep quiet. Teachers, police come to us and say, no, the manner that the interest rates are being raised is destroying us. COSATU, for instance, here, said, no, we are going to go to the street if you don't take the issue of raising our wages. Whether you have got a challenge with the wage bill, but because of the petrol price, the increase in the interest rate, we think we have got a strong point that if we are not listened to, we are going to take you head on. The independence of the Reserve Bank is when they take the decision in the Monetary Policy Committee. We don't sit in the Monetary Policy Committee. The independence of the judiciary is when they take decisions, which is a judgment, in the courtroom. No member of parliament gets into the courtroom and be part of the judgment. But the judiciary account to this parliament. IEC, which is independent, accounts to this parliament. The public protector accounts to this parliament. And as far as I know, from time to time, the Reserve Bank comes here to this parliament and accounts. So what is wrong if when they come, we engage them on this issue? Because their independence does not mean that they don't account to anybody. It only means when they take the decisions as the Monetary Policy Committee, which we don't sit. Last week or a week before last, the governor, Lesitja Khanyak, was addressing the students at VET. He went at length, more than what he addresses, more than how he deals with issues when he's here in the committee. They ask him the rationale, why is the Reserve Bank ever increasing the interest rate? Google here, you will find his speech. He explained how they take decisions to arrive at increasing repo rates, and then the banks increase the interest rate. There was nothing that he did not address. Look at the speech, look at the debate that the governor had with the students at VET. So it's not like the Reserve Bank is something which is untouchable. No, 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 no. Let's not create that kind of an attitude, honorable members. No. The Reserve Bank, when it comes here, like it did last week with the governor at VET, should give us the same explanation. How do they arrive at this decision? So that when we go and meet our stakeholders, our constituencies, we are able to explain, better informed, how certain decisions are arrived at. So that's how we understand this thing. And as I've said, I've read the Constitution on what the central bank is all about in section 223 to 2225. and I've got the correct interpretation how the Reserve Bank is supposed to operate and where is it accounting. And they account here to Parliament, and they should do that as much as they also account the public when they go out and address various stakeholders. So that is the background where I raised this matter. I was not raising a new issue. It was raised by FFC, if you look at the report of FFC. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
I thought you were finishing off the meeting. We're done. Okay, so basically the issue, Chairperson, as I see it, is that as it's crafted, it's fine. Unless others apart from Dion and Dennis have anything to say. Chairperson, I think in fairness, and the rules allow this, we should allow them to have a paragraph at the end to say that the DA disagrees with 714. Full stop, something like that. Dion, are you happy with that?
I will reserve my position on the report in any event.
But you'll sometimes do that, you know, yes. Even though you don't vote for report, which I think you almost always do, you say that. So, you know, we can't bludgeon you, so to speak, if that's how you feel. It's your right to disagree. It's a parliamentary democracy, a multi-party one, so there it is. But I really think, Dion, sometimes you guys have a good point in seeing something there that you, as a party, will totally disagree with. You can have reservations about this thing and help to tweak it, but I honestly don't think there's anything there, really. I'm not like taking a line. I really can't see what's there. I read it yesterday, it did strike me as odd, and when I read it again now, I think it's very clear. And we have done that. Dion, I mean, you served in the committee in the last 5 years, so you must have been there when the Reserve Bank governor came and this issue invariably comes up. But there you are, we're done now. Chair, can I hand back to you? It's a matter of now calling the NA committee to vote. Chair, you can send your members.
Chair, if you can, kindly, Chair.
No, yes, Nancy, yeah.
Okay, if you can indulge me, Chair, I plead with you. I got distracted while we were having that hot discussion on
Oh, you want to make a further amendment? Yeah, okay, good, yeah.
Yes. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yeah, I can. I'm just trying to hand over to the other chair, but while he's pulling himself together, very quickly, what's your amendment? Yeah, you want to make further amendments? Yeah.
Yes, please. Well, it's my amendment is on 7.16, Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you. At 7.16, Chairperson talks to the issue of gender and as well as a corruption. So, sorry, I just wanted us because it captures it quite well at the beginning, but for me, I know that I'm also part of the tautology that is there, that follows there in terms of the what the committee will do if the department does not come to the show in terms of what the committee recommends. But I think it's really kind of statements that are repetitive. It could be captured well if we just say that the committee notes the concern of certain stakeholders on the need for an engendered approach to budgeting, that the 2020 MTPPS does not appear to explicitly reflect, because that was the bone of contention, Chair. Sorry, that the stakeholders were complaining that the budget is not explicit on issues of gender-based violence, but it does not necessarily mean that there is no budgeting on gender-based violence in different departments. I leave that to those departments. However, I thought us as a committee, we should just end there at saying that
the committee notes with concern that the concerns of certain stakeholders on the need for an engendered approach to budgeting, the 2022 MTPBS does not appear to explicitly reflect on this. Thank you, Chair. And we end there. The other areas that talk to what we will do if they don't and so on, we leave it. Thank you, Chair.
All right. No, that's quite clear. You will send all your amendments, please, to Zakeli and his team so they can insert it, right? But don't you want to add another line? We're leaving it hanging there, aren't we, as a committee? We can add there and say that we urge or we recommend that National Treasury in future reflects gender budgeting across the NCBPS and the budget. Now, there is a fault is partly ours, Comrade Nafi. I think I did raise this. When we had that committee, they really worked very hard, and gender budgeting became almost a mantra, complete coaching. Every meeting is to mention it because we are so terrified that if we don't, we'll be accused. And perhaps
okay, you're right, sir. We need to say that to them because if we say they don't explicitly reflect, then you know they could come up next day and still not reflect. But there's also another area, sir. I'm sorry to do this, but there's another area that says in 7.18 there's a total lack of understanding. The committee is concerned that there appears to be a total lack of understanding. For me, that's talks to us as well. You know, yes, there is some degree of misunderstanding. I would have put it as diplomatic as that, not to say there's a total lack of understanding. I'm assuming, Tay, that our report will be public, and somebody who understands what's happening with ETOL reads it and finds that there's a total lack of understanding. No, it's not a total lack of understanding, but there seems to be some degree.
All right, why don't we simply say, okay, we can say the committee is concerned that there appears to be inadequate understanding. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe
Okay. Any other changes?
Chair, you went up to 720. You didn't go to 721. Didn't you have the 721?
Let's see. Oh, yes, you're right. I don't know why we stopped at 720. Absolutely right. I'm getting old, as you say, and you keep reminding me of the sentence. Okay, thanks for not mentioning it in the
Because I wanted to speak on that as well. I wanted to speak on that as well because it's interesting that you left it out because it has to be left out because that recommendation speaks as though only Healer has come to us. And now, if I can remember, there were some stakeholders who were complaining that Treasury is not talking to them, Treasury this. So if we want to include that kind of recommendation, then we can always say that the Treasury has to meet with the stakeholders from time to time. But we cannot really force stakeholders to meet with Treasury. So I would propose that we leave that out altogether unless we feel strongly about it, Chair, and we want to say Treasury should consult with the stakeholders from time to time, then that's okay. But for me to just pick up and select Healer alone says to you that out of all the stakeholders that have talked to you, who some have communication problems with Treasury, we have only listened to Healer. I hope you get my point, Chair.
No, you're absolutely right, except you're absolutely right. We have done this before, as you know. Here, there's a specific matter that's already been attended to. What happened there was, remember, Healer raised was the only one that raised a specific issue, that they wrote to Treasury and they never got a reply. Then you will recall, you might have got cut off then, because Momo spent a great deal of time explaining that they have got an email that was 22nd of October or something, and then we took a decision as a committee. It's possible you were not connected at the time, or you didn't pick this up. We as a committee decided, look, you claim to be transparent, and indeed you are. And somebody questioned the term transparency and what it means, but essentially we asked them to meet Hila on the specific issue, not of transparency. Maybe the way it's worded, Zakhele and they could change that to make it a specific issue, and they have done it. In fact, while we were in committee, the chairs were sent an email saying, here's the letter, and then Hila sent us an email saying, thank you very much for your intervention. It happened within 2 days, and in the letter subsequently, Momo wrote, I think we should send the letter out to everybody. Momo wrote to say that we will meet with you. That's what he offered. So maybe the wording here is misleading, but that was a decision. It was a recommendation, Comrade Nafsi. So I think this should be changed, Zakhele. She's right, because it implies that only Hila was heeded. And if you say it about Hila, then you've got to say it about everybody else. But here, this is a specific issue, and we should change the wording. But it does show that the committee does have some power, and Treasury does listen at times. They actually did do all of this, and they went further than we even suggested. They agreed to meet with them. I think they're meeting one of these days. So I think she's right for saying that the wording is wrong, but we did take this decision, I remember, because at that stage I was hearing, if I recall. And then they sent us the email. Is that okay? We changed the wording altogether, because this is misleading, as you say, Noxie. Is that okay? Noxie?
Yes. Comrade Chairperson, or Honorable Chair, it's okay. But, you know, for me, it says we are going back to individual stakeholders. And I think that is not the best way to end our recommendation. However, maybe let's leave it to...
So what we can do is move it up, you're right, and then we can make the 720 the last one.
Especially because, 720, let 720 be our last, especially because immediately when this was raised, Chair, you intervened and called on Momo to account, and when he spoke, and you just said, listen, fix this on the side. And I'm happy that now you are giving us a feedback that indeed that is happening. For us as the committee, that should make us happy, and happy enough to really not talk about it at this point. We have
all right, that's the majority view, fine. Okay, that's the majority view. I don't agree personally, but it's fine. If it's the majority view, let's do it. Okay, good. I dropped my concern. Is there anything else? Is there anybody else?
Yes, Chair.
Go ahead, Kenny. Yes, sure. Sorry, I didn't see your hand. Yeah. Go ahead, please.
No, Chair. I think I'm covered by the intervention of the WIP. I feel very strong myself too that we should not single out any of the interventions with the stakeholders that would have ensued, because should we do that, we would be setting a precedence for future. Should any such interventions be rendered with any of the participants, would have to single them out in the report. But I'm quite content with the intervention by the WIP. Thanks.
Okay, good. We'll leave it there. But we should also be careful that we do this all the time. It's what a committee does, that we tell them, hey, look, on this particular issue, you have to do this, and they do it, but there's no need to acknowledge it in the report. But we can't stop doing what we do. Otherwise, a committee becomes meaningless. It just becomes like a talk shop. We've got to tell them, look, do these things. And to be fair to Treasury, at times they do it, at times they don't do it. So the reason we used to put it in the report is so that we can follow up and say, here's the report, the committee decided this, you haven't done it, in a follow-up, the quarterly follow-ups that we have. You do the quarterly follow-ups on your side. We don't on the NCOP side, but fine, drop that altogether. Thank you. I'm handing over to you, Comrade Joe.
Okay.
To bring it to an end, yeah. And then you've got to vote on your side. We'll vote now. Thanks a lot, Pilot.
Okay. Thanks. Honorable members, now that we have considered the report, can we move for the adoption? Can a member move for the adoption of the report?
I move, sir.
Honorable Murulo.
Are we not separating ways? We have to separate from the house of the elders.
They remain in the platform. They will come back after we have adopted the report. Honorable Murulo has moved for the adoption. Former Mavileto.
I second, sir.
Honorable Mavileto, second. Dr. George.
And please, could you note the DA reserves its position? Thank you.
Yes, that be recorded.
Chairperson.
Akbar Vezas.
Thank you, Chair. Please also note that the FF Plus reserves its position.
FF Plus. Okay. The report is adopted, and we should also record that the FF Plus and the DA have reservations. Back to you, the House of the Lords.
Okay, thank you very much. We unlike Comrade Nopsi, we won't kick you out. You can stay and get bored, but we can continue to vote. Okay, members, NCO Mioli, move on a second for the report, please.
Good morning, Chair.
Yeah.
Chairperson, good morning. Chairperson, after deliberations on this report, I would move for the adoption of the report. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Seconder, please.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. Bamara Khan, Comrade Bamara Khan is second. Right. Does any other party want to say anything?
Mr. Raida and Mr. Muletsana and Mr. Titoiche have their hands up.
Surprise. Okay, Dennis.
Simon, yeah, Chair, not wanting to surprise you, but the Democratic Alliance reserves its position on the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Simon.
Thank you, Chairperson. EFF reserve its position.
Okay, thank you. Fani.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The Freedom Front Plus reserve its position.
Thank you, Fani. Good. We shall meet on Thursday in the Appropriations Committee at 5 o'clock. Am I right, Vicky Lady? I think she's here.
That's correct, Chairperson.
Good. Thank you. Keep out. Thanks to everybody. Bye then.
Thank you, Chair.